This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. It started with two peach baskets at a YMCA in Massachusetts and evolved into a multi-billion dollar industry whose influence is seen in marketing, fashion, and music. The sport of basketball cemented its place in American society with March Madness, the tournament, and, of course, the great NBA rivalries, but also on a smaller scale with neighborhood pickup games and Air Jordan sneakers. The exhibition To the Hoop, Basketball and Contemporary Art at the Weatherspoon Art Museum in Greensboro explores basketball's reach in American culture and around the world. Emily Stamey is curator of To the Hoop, and she joins us now to talk about the exhibit. Welcome back, Emily.
Thank you.
Kind of a fascinating thought when you think about basketball as this cultural phenomenon, this thing that got its, you know, humble start, now a multi-billion dollar industry. It makes it the stuff of art, the story of basketball, right? In fact, take us back. Talk about the origins of basketball.
Well, so it starts with Dr. James Naismith asked to invent this game to keep kids busy during the winter months. And he, as you said, he grabbed some peach baskets, and I believe it was a soccer ball to begin with, and puts together this game. And the game takes off in amazing ways. You know, its rules are really quickly adapted for women, so women have been playing it from the beginning. It takes off in urban locations and rural locations, and it just spreads across the country.
So now talk about the exhibit itself and kind of what led up to the show at the Weatherspoon.
So the show has its origins in my own personal history. So I grew up sort of liking basketball. I will say I was basketball adjacent, per se. My dad and my brother loved it and played. I had one attempt at playing, and it was a failed disaster. But I always kind of enjoyed watching. And then I wound up going to graduate school at the University of Kansas, which, as I say that, anyone who follows college basketball will understand how that was a turning point. So that is the coaching home of Naismith. That's
and Roy actually followed you back here. When you came back to North Carolina, Roy said, well, if Emily's going, I'm going.
Well, actually,
I
followed Roy.
Okay.
So I arrived his last year of coaching in Kansas.
Okay. I knew there was a connection.
There's a connection. And that was my introduction to college basketball. And I was blown away and absolutely fell in love with it.
With the game or the phenomenon? The campus
Both.
Phenomenon?
Both. The game and the crazy campus phenomenon and the fan rituals and everyone wearing their red and blue beads, and it was eye-opening to me, and it took me a while to wrap my head around it.
Mm-hmm.
And I became a fan in the process, and it primed me to then be attentive in the rest of my life, which was dedicated to becoming an art historian, to see where basketball showed up in artworks, and it shows up a lot.
So talk about this exhibit and how you framed those observations.
So I have been sort of collecting basketball artworks, you know, in my brain, in my files, ever since graduate school, and put together this show with a range of works that would really look at the game from a whole bunch of different perspectives. So you have works that are looking at issues of race and gender and economics and different geographic locations. You've got somewhat surprising other themes like spirituality and the cosmos, and there's so much. It's really rich.
Well, I want to bring in two of the featured artists in the exhibition that we're talking about here. Andre Leon Gray is an artist based in Raleigh. His piece, Black Magic, It's Fantastic, is on display in To the Hoop. And Bill Bamberger is a lecturing fellow at Duke Center for Documentary Studies and a photographer. The Weatherspoon exhibit includes selections from his series, Hoops. And still with us, Emily Stamey. So, Andre, let me start with you. First of all, welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Let's talk about your piece, Black Magic, It's Fantastic. Tell us about the piece.
Well, I made the piece back in 2005, and at the time I wasn't really into basketball so much per se, but I'm more or less an observer of the rituals that happen in basketball, and so I wanted to include this kind of hybrid mix of Black culture and African culture in this piece by creating this kind of a ceremonial mask. Initially, I wanted to make it like an urban myth that these archaeologists would find in this Black neighborhood in the future that had been gentrified, and they would discover this object and figured out through research that it would be this object using a secret initiation by African-American men who want to have power and dominance on a basketball court, as opposed to living in a world that they didn't have that agency. So that was kind of the idea behind it.
I wonder how you approach this as an artist, and maybe I'll ask you how much you do or do not love basketball or follow basketball as a sport. Have you been a longtime fan, not much of a fan?
I was more a fan in my younger years in the 80s when Michael Jordan was big, and that's where the subtitle comes from, It's Fantastic. That was the NBA slogan back then when Michael Jordan came in 84 and he was pretty big, so...
So then how do you go about thinking about this? And as you say, you've got a map. Maybe you can describe it, some of the other elements in the piece as well.
So the base of the piece is actually a wooden ironing board that I found. I use a lot of found objects in my work. And at the top is a actual basketball with braided hair sewn on top. And surrounding that is like this corona of this street sweeper brush that I found, actually kind of dumpster dive for that. And at the bottom is a Michael Jordan headband. And there's more of an African mask reference with the cowrie shells and this mouth at the bottom. And also it contains red shoelaces at the bottom, which is kind of indicative of hip-hop culture and breakdancers back in the day, because it's actually the fat shoelaces, not the regular thin ones.
So talk about this idea of the mythology and the ritual that you see as kind of essential and embedded in this game that perhaps isn't so obvious when the whistle blows.
So it's kind of a more religious experience I see in sports in general, particularly basketball. So I want to kind of reflect that in the piece, like this kind of object that's used. But it's kind of interesting how people see basketball like that, like the different rituals that go on, like a ceremony to calling, the coming in the players, the call and response from the crowd, the music. It's almost like going to church in a sense.
Yeah. Well, and the reverence that fans have for the players and the esteem in which they hold them. I mean, it goes beyond just, you know, thanks for winning, right?
Yeah, like, see these guys as icons, you know. They're like celebrities. Yeah. They're big, you know. They get marketed as these celebrities. So, like, these fans, they adore them, and,
Bill Bamberger, talk a little bit about your photographs in this exhibit.
Well, it's interesting, Andre, talking about celebrities. My work sort of tracks basketball courts across this country. Photographed in 40 states. I started in 2004, and I just come off 10 years of really collaborative projects and working with people, with community exhibitions. So this is my one and only sports project. And I was really looking for a kind of quiet project, some way to look at the world we live in, and I photographed my first hoop in Nag's Head and sort of have been at it ever since.
And people are absent. It is all about the space and the hoop and the court itself, right?
Yeah, it's absent. Like, it's absent for several reasons. I mean, these are not celebrity courts. These are the courts we see in everyday life. I mean, this is a truly American sport that that has morphed as we've built these courts all around the country. Everyone is different, and each court speaks to the character of the place that it's sited in. The basketball court is a really simple design. The hoop 18 inches in diameter, 10 feet off the ground, the backboard 3.5 feet by 6 feet, and yet you take that design premise and see how it plays out in different neighborhoods across the country and around the world, and every court is remarkably different.
Yeah,
it speaks to the character of that place.
Right, so it's standardized and yet never standard. So you talk about some of them, because you've got, hoops that are up on telephone poles and others in, school lots with busted concrete and some that are a little bit more...
I'll talk about three of my favorites, and one of them is in the exhibition. Of course, I've been at this, like I said, for now 14, 15 years. And you think, get a life if you can travel around and photograph basketball courts for 14, 15 years. That's something. But all my projects are long-term. And it takes that to kind of really cover this country and now really much of the world. One of my favorites is a charter school playground in Harlem, New York. The court could not be more simple. It's concrete, asphalt court, concrete wall behind it, and a metal post and a standardized backboard. But the court is painted by the school children. It's a remarkable turquoise blue in the foreground. The free throw lane is orange. And then on the wall, concentric circles with orange, blue, pink, fuchsia, yellow, pretty much every color you can imagine, and five hands, all different colors, all different shades of skin tone, reaching towards a basketball. Of course, the basketball is covered by the ivy growing down. So it's as if the hands are reaching towards the sky. It speaks to a kind of feeling of hope, certainly a statement of diversity and the vibrancy that is this part of Harlem. There's another one that I love. I'll step out of this country. It's in Kinihira, Rwanda. It's also a schoolyard. And as we know, in this country, all schools are created equal, right? Mm. Hardly.
What country are you talking
about? So now so not in the U.S.
Not the U.S.
Like, and you could look at the work I've done just by looking at the schoolyards. They're all so different. But let's go to a really different schoolyard. This one's in Kinihira, Rwanda. I was working on a project there for a while, and this was kind of the ancillary project. And I was at a remote village, Kinihira, doing a portrait series, and I came to this church and schoolyard, and the court is shared by the church and the schoolyard, which is the case in much of Rwanda. It's a clay court, and it has an international free throw line, but the line itself are made of bricks that are embedded in the earth, and the same bricks that the church is built out of. And you think of the ingenuity of this community to lay the bricks into the earth and for them to be worn and played upon. The backboard is also standard size, but it's made from common lumber from the community. It's hand-painted. The rim is created by a welder. And the posts are hand-hewed trees, likely from the community. So again, this speaks to kind of the frugality of this community, the resourcefulness, and again, the central location of the court in this village and schoolyard.
And the central role that it plays. I don't know if either of you two artists have thought about this. And Emily, I'll ask you the question as curator too. But one of the things that struck me about the exhibit when I kind of launched, 30,000 feet above it, was how, if you take a sport like basketball, it's simple beginnings. It's a fun thing to do. And I think Bill's photographs suggest the many, many different ways in which people have figured out how to play this game, whatever their resources. And it's a multi-billion dollar entertainment commodified phenomenon. So economically, it's this thing way over here. Your artistic renditions and, of course, others in the exhibit at the Weatherspoon will suggest another way of thinking about basketball. The tragedy is the way these things have come separate, it seems to me, and I'll ask you to comment on this, in this social order that we're living in, whereas art and economy and leisure were integrated much better, I think, in other kinds of societies. And this indicates how things get pulled apart. I don't know if you feel that way and if you've thought about it that way, but it's interesting to think about the way in which art is not integrated into our lives in the way it might be in other cultures.
Yeah, like most art programs around the country, as far as schools or universities, art programs first get cut, but sports will always stay, because it makes money and it's more popular.
Yet they're all essential to human development, right? And somehow we've pulled them apart. They're in their own separate categories, and they can very easily be cut off or not if they're not turning a profit, right?
And yet they're entwined. I mean, that is one of the things I love so much about the show, is that I have received skepticism from my art world colleagues when I said I was doing a basketball show, who immediately said, "Really? Is there enough art about basketball?" And then I have, people in my life who love sports and don't really think that they want to walk into a contemporary art museum. And it's all connected.
Right.
And I think when you come into the exhibition, you are reminded of that there's no part of our lives that gets completely disjointed from anything else.
No, that's what the artwork does. The artwork is the thing that reminds you of how integrated this is. But the fact that one's done in a gallery and the other's done it in an arena is the thing that reminds me that it's not, until you pull this exhibit together.
There are also many people who love sports, particularly in this area, and love basketball, but also want to think about how it plays out in our society and think of the implications of this truly American, North American invention that has morphed and changed as we have exported it around the world. But if you want to stay close to home, I won't talk about one of my photographs, but another photograph in the exhibition by David Hammons that I love. It's a black and white print of a tree. It was actually taken, I believe, in Durham.
I think it's in Charleston, actually.
Okay, Charleston.
But relatively close.
Corrected by the curator. I stand corrected. but the tree, it's a simple tree, and there's a hoop kind of enmeshed in the tree, kind of almost like it's growing out of the tree. And you think, oh, how idyllic, how romantic. But then you look at the title, Money Tree. And he's sort of playing with two things, obviously. Money doesn't grow on trees. But in the case of sports, maybe it does. But also he's making a statement to African-American youth of that time saying, hey, this is not the way to riches. This is the chances are so slim, So also being sort of critical of the idea that this is a moneymaker for you, that this isn't shared by everyone. And that's one of the things that art can do when it looks at sport.
Andre, I wonder how you feel about your work, which you did without thinking about an exhibit at the Weatherspoon several years after you, what did you say, 2005, mm-hmm. 15 years later. But how do you see your work fitting into the other pieces? And then when you see it all together, how does it recontextualize or does it for you?
Well, it's funny because Bill just mentioned David Hammons, and actually David Hammons is one of my influences is coming up as a young artist. So yeah, I was kind of happy to be in another show with David Hammons, actually. I'm in another show at the California Afro-American Museum. But yeah, it's just like basketball is so part of the American culture that any piece, despite what their approach is to it, it all can come together in one show to show how. And the thing is, a lot of people are intimidated by contemporary art. So those who are more or less into sports and not into contemporary art can come and see this show and appreciate it for what it is, you know.
What do you want people, I'll stick with you, Andre, then I'll ask Bill, what do you want viewers to notice in your work?
A lot of my work is very thought-provoking. It might seem simple at first, but it has a lot of layers to it, either social, political, or whatever. Yeah.
And the found objects, is that something you do with most of your work? Do you apply that?
For the most part, yeah. And each object has its own symbolic meaning.
Basically. Why is that?
It's cheap. Actually, I started doing photography like Bill, but that was back in film before digital, so it was really more expensive back then. So I eventually just graduated to using found objects because I could find it on the street in Raleigh, where I'm from. A lot of people were restoring Victorian homes, so they see like pieces of windows and doors and stuff like that, so...
Do you pick the stuff up, throw it in the bin, and then put it in a piece when it makes sense, or do you see the value in it or the potential in it right away?
Usually when I see a piece, I can know if I can do something or not. Some people might offer me something like, no, that won't work, but yeah.
Bill, how about you? What do you want people to take away from your photos?
I think with this series, well, many things with my work in general, but with this series, with the Hoop series, I think it becomes an opportunity for looking at the ways, you know, at something that connects us. I mean, certainly sport does. And the kind of positive pitch on my work is that, you know, it's looking at something that unites us all over the world. But I think that's too simple, of course. I mean, another way to look at it is to look at how different we are and maybe how disconnected we are as a country these days. By looking at these images, there's one of my favorites also. It's a community playground in North Fork, West Virginia. And I was working on an assignment about coal mining, driving into the town. It was a year after the Sago disaster, and I'd been underground. And I'm always looking for these hoops, and I see a sign that says North Fork, basketball capital of the United States. They had won more state championships than any other small high school. So this is a small, poor neighborhood in McDowell County, one of the poorest counties in America. And here's a court that was really bland, concrete, brick wall, and up on the hill behind it, three houses that are very Appalachian that are all fading now. They're in need of repair. There's kind of weeds growing down over the wall, but the court's been completely repurposed. NF on the backboard painted. There's an angel, huge 6-foot angel painted on the wall. The words God, Jesus loves you across. I mean, the notion this community has rediscovered itself through faith and is also struggling. And it's sort of like this image just becomes an opportunity to look at what's going on in this, I say, difficult part of McDowell County and difficult part of the country. Take a repainted court somewhere else, like the Harlem one I spoke about earlier, and there's a very different story to be told.
Emily, you know, you had some reservations perhaps going in, or at least some warnings. How do you feel about it now, and what does it mean once you actually see this thing come to life?
It's so exciting to see it come to life. I mean, I've wanted to do this show for years, and I've told people, you know, I moved after I left graduate school, and I always wanted to do the show in a place that would deeply appreciate it the same way that I thought people in Lawrence, Kansas might. And when I landed in North Carolina 4 years ago, I knew I was in the right spot. So it's so exciting to see it come to fruition.
To the Hoop, basketball and contemporary art on display now through June at the Weatherspoon Museum of Art in Greensboro. Emily Stamey, curator of exhibitions at the Weatherspoon. Andre Leon Gray, a multidisciplinary artist whose piece Black Magic, It's Fantastic, is featured in the exhibit. Bill Bamberger, a photographer with a selection of photographs on display in the same exhibit. Thank you all for being on the program.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.